That's my van.
I gather you're a Christian.
I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Here, here. Yep, I'm a Messianic Christian.
Really?
Yeah. I guess some people call me a completed Jew.
Huh. Do you belong to that group here in town?
Which one?
And I only know of one. Isn't there one that meets on Sabbath out here somewhere?
Well, actually, I know the particular church you're talking about. I've been to one of their services. They're right by the Shell gas station. And
I thought there was one further out this way too.
I don't know if there is.
Okay. Are they Hebrew roots?
Well, I know that this group here. They adhere to quite a bit of the Jewish holidays.
Yeah, Torah law.
Right.
That would be Hebrew roots.
But I don't know though if in the event that they adhere to no eating pork, no eating shellfish. Nazarite vows, so forth, so on.
Yeah.
So
you don't adhere to those?
Well, no, I don't eat pork and I don't eat shellfish. Now, there's reasons for that because shellfish, they had a massive outbreak of vibriosis out on the East Coast.
Now, what I'm saying is that you don't, when you call yourself a Messianic Jew, does that mean you keep Torah?
Or oh, absolutely.
You keep Torah law.
No tattoos, do not scar nor mark thy body. It is the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So, the Lord, and he once you make that commitment, he owns us. I mean,
who did he give Torah law to?
Well, he gave it to the children of Israel.
He gave it to Moses and the Jews in the land of Israel, right?
Right.
Moving into the land of Israel. Actually, right. He gave it to them actually when they were wandering, but he didn't give it to Gentiles in America.
No, but, and I look at it this way is that, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. You be the boss of my life and sit upon the throne of my heart. Now, in the book of Revelation, it mentions that those that keep the commandments of the Lord and those that hold fast to the testimony of Jesus Christ, commandments of the Lord. I wonder what that means, what commandments? And now this is for these are for the tribulation Christian.
Well, but you have to define what law we're living under today.
Well, we're under the law of Christ. We're under the law of
right.
grace.
Right. We're not under Torah.
We're under grace. Absolutely.
We're not under Torah. So, in Acts 15, when the Jews were trying to get the Gentiles to obey Torah law, do you remember what happened?
There was a bit of a rift to say
and
the
disciples said we did not command the Gentiles to keep the Torah
we
law
keep.
He said
exactly.
We did not command. They said we did not command, and they gave them four things that the Gentiles should keep that are echoed actually in there's pre-Torah law, and then they're also echoed in the New Testament. So you can't see, here's the problem with the Torah law today. You cannot even keep Torah law.
No, you can't. It's,
so to strive to keep Torah law, if you don't strive to keep all of it, you're crushed by the weight of all of it. You have to realize that Christ came when he laid out his arms and said, "It is finished." He fulfilled that covenant. That's what it means. He fulfilled that covenant, and then we entered into the new blood covenant. And so the commandments of God are the moral law. So the Ten Commandments are the moral law, not tassels, not eating pork, not all of those things that were given to the Torah Jews. The commandments that they're talking about are the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, and then everything that's given to us in the New Testament. Everything that's given to us in the New Testament, with the only one change, and that is the Saturday Sabbath is no longer.
Well, it's still in effect.
No.
If you look at Isaiah chapter 66,
no.
When the Lord created the new heavens and the new earth, in fact, I wish I had my Bible with me. Usually I have it with me.
I'm familiar with that verse. There's some vagueness about that. They talk about those things coming back. And there are some things that are going to come back. There's a lot of people that believe the scriptures teach like the temple's going to come back.
Every Sabbath shall all flesh come and worship before
me. But the sacrifice are coming back. But here's the thing. The Saturday Sabbath, as it was laid out, is not for eternity. I can prove it to you. Ready? Have you ever studied what that word forever means in the Old Testament? Olam, yes. Olam. What does it mean?
Forever is until it is completely done.
It really, the because best translation in English.
Sodom and Gomorrah is not burning forever. Yeah. You go down to the Dead Sea, there ain't no smoke there.
Right. The best translation is it's throughout your generation. So it wasn't going to be forever. And here's a fact. The Friday night to Saturday night Sabbath is not eternal. You know how I can prove that?
Because God doesn't live in time.
No, he doesn't. But how I can prove it is the Bible tells us they'll, at the end of days, when Christ returns, that there will be no need of the sun. He is the light. And right, the sun is done away with.
There are no
so then, thus, there is no Friday night to Saturday night Sabbath. Right, so he's our light. So there's no Sabbath. Here's the key. He is our Sabbath rest. If you miss that, if you still try to hold to a day, Jesus is the Sabbath rest, not a day. Not a day. Hebrews 4. So the people that say you got to keep Sabbath today, you can gather on Saturday. You can, but don't tell other people they have to gather. It's not the Sabbath.
Is that, you know...
Did you hear me, though? It's not the Sabbath.
I know.
Jesus is the Sabbath.
When...
Not Saturday.
When I came to the realization that Yeshua was Messiah...
Are you a Jew by blood?
Yes.
Okay.
See, when I came to that realization, you know, wow, what a day. I still have that smile on my face, is that, you know, everything that I was doing, you know, before I had that realization, you know, I was doing it out of, you know,
ritual,
tradition, custom, that, you know, this is what keeps me to be, you know, a good person. Moral, you know,
like the Pharisees were.
Yes, and that you know, to protect the honor of another before my own honor, they come first, not me. What can I do for my fellow man?
Right.
And then I come last. And, I, you know, one of my great heroes, actually a couple of them, was, you know, Maimonides, and then of course, you know, Philo. And so you know, these two great teachers, you know, they really taught me the ins and outs of the five fingers, you know, the five senses of the body, is that, you know, if we can, you know, mortify, and that's what Paul was talking about, is mortifying, you know, the lusts of the flesh, you know, the desires of the flesh, live in the spirit.
How do we do that? Isn't that via the gospel? And let me preach to you what I believe is the path to eternal life.
I can't do it on my own power.
Yeah. So I believe a person has to place their faith in Yeshua, as you say, the Messiah, his shed blood, his resurrection. He lived a perfect life. He was fully man. He was fully God. So the path to eternal life starts with realizing who he is. Sadly, I'm a street preacher. I travel over the country and preach all over. Sadly, most Americans really stop right there and they say, I have faith, or I believe in Jesus. That's the beginning of the gospel. That's not the end.
They don't believe in the sufficiency
of Christ. Well, yeah. So I believe, I teach them that you must place your faith in his finished work, for his shed blood, for the forgiveness of sin, his resurrection to defeat death. But then the Bible is clear. The Bible tells us to repent to this Messiah. Jesus himself said in Luke 13:3, lest you repent, you all will perish. So, but what is repentance? Repentance is not feeling bad about my past life without any change. Repentance is coming to the knowledge that your ways, my ways, the world's ways don't work, and that we must follow Christ's ways. So when we repent, we have to be willing to come out of man-made religion, all these denominations, all these false ways. We got to come out of the culture. Movies, politics, sports, entertainment, none of this is of God. So faith and repentance, then the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born from above. So then God sends his Holy Spirit, and God sees a willing vessel, and now he gives you the Spirit, and now you're striving as this born-again person in the Word of God, repentive all the time. It's not a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. And holiness and obedience to the Scriptures, because the Bible says, without holiness you won't see God. And Hebrews 5:9 says, he made the way for those who obey him. So faith, repentance, you're born again, holiness and obedience, and the last part of the gospel to eternal life is, the Bible tells us we must endure to the end. You don't have it guaranteed today. You can fall away, you can sin away, you can turn away. You must endure to the end. That's the biblical gospel to eternal life. per the word of God. And not one of those can we lose.
I know that we are on such borrowed, well, I wouldn't say borrowed time, but I know that right now, you know, the world is in a state of grace and mercy, if you will, is that some have described it as, you know, we're on borrowed time. Is that?
Oh, we are. We're headed for the last days in the tribulation.
Lord, the Lord is, you know, just giving a few more moments of time so that none perish, but that there will be many that would come to repentance.
Amen. Yeah, the world is in perilous times. If God doesn't judge America and the world, he better apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because this is a wicked nation.
Tomorrow is going to be a very, very rough day.
Yeah.
And I sensed it, you know, for the past, for the past weeks. Actually, you know, you see that steeple there with, you know, the cross on top. You know, that's the church I attend.
It is.
Yeah.
You go to a Baptist church.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. You pointed out, every time I drive through town, I look at it. So that Baptist church, we'll cover this, that Baptist church claims to lift up a holy Savior, right? And to be walking in the ways...
David does.
To be walking in the ways of God, right? What is that on top of the building?
Well, it's the cross, you know.
What's the cross on?
Well, it's on a... Well, yeah, I know.
What is it?
Well, it kind of looks like an elongated obelisk, if you will.
And what's an obelisk?
Well, you know, there you have it, is that, you know, gee whiz, you know.
It's a male phallic symbol. So how does that end up on the so-called holy building of God?
Well,
can you help me?
I have wrestled with this because...
Isn't that called sin?
Well, yes, absolutely.
So that building right there, that big Baptist building with the steeple, is practicing sin and pagan ways with that steeple.
The vast majority of the congregants there have no idea, such as in a matter of months, they're going to be getting geared up for Christmas. Yeah. Now, I was born on Christmas Day.
It's a pagan holiday. Christmas is a pagan.
Absolutely. I know about...
But
know,
so Saturday, you know all this and you're united? How can you unite to them?
Well, here's the thing is that, one, there's no synagogue here in town.
Well, we're
not... Because on the other hand, I wouldn't be able to go to synagogue or temple anymore because I've accepted Yeshua as my Messiah.
You're part of the New Testament body now. You're not part of the Jewish synagogue system.
Right.
If you're born again of Christ...
I am an early church Christian.
Yeah. You don't look for synagogues. You don't look for Jewish ways. You look for the Christian ways. Because we follow Christ.
And so, you know...
So let's go back to the Baptist faith. So the Baptist faith comes along 1,600 years after Messiah establishes his New Testament body. The Baptists were formed.
Right.
They come out of evangelicalism. Right. They keep pagan Christmas. They keep pagan Easter. They keep the pagan building system, which 60-70% of your money goes for the building and salaries.
Right.
So how is this a representation of our holy Messiah?
And that is what I have been needling my pastor, Pastor David White, about, is, I want to ask you a question. I said, when was the last time you heard one of our congregants, one of our parishioners, inform you point blank, you know, Pastor David, you know, time is so short, Jesus is coming soon. He could literally come today. And he looked at me, he didn't say a word, He was looking at me and he knew where I was getting at, which was, is that we're on borrowed time.
Why is he keeping sin then?
Messiah is calling out his faithful, his servants.
You got to come out of that.
Servants.
You got to repent and come out of that false way.
Now,
the Bible says, hold on, the Bible says in Romans 16:17, hold on, it says, mark those that cause divisions by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them. Right. If you gather on a Sunday and you know they're keeping sin and false ways, you are now guilty and complicit with them, and when the judgment comes, you're going to be judged with them.
Right along with them, yes.
So why would you unite to them?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you a story here. I've only been here in town since last November, the day after Thanksgiving of last year. Day after Thanksgiving. I was living at my brother's house with his wife and kids, and they have a special needs child, my niece, Alexa, type 1 diabetes, out of control.
Well, anyway, long story short, just before I left, I won the lottery. And a scratcher, $100,000, helped out my brother and his wife because I wanted to get out of there. My brother's an alcoholic, long story short. When I was out there Friday night, I felt that tugging in my heart. And I knew who that was. And Lord said, go. And I said, well, you know, Lord, you know, it's a cold night. You know, where do you want me to go? You know, here I am in my three-piece suit. And, of course, you know, I still had my prayer shawl and had my Bible. And he said, go. And I said, well, I'll go inside and say goodbye. No, go. So, okay, I'll go.
Go where?
Well, that's just it. I said, okay, I'll start walking. And so I started walking. Before you know it, I found myself at Southwest and 54. And it's a cold night. And, you know, I didn't even have a jacket other than my three-piece suit. And, you know, it's incredible how the Lord provides. Looking at the strip mall just before you get onto the freeway, highway. I'm still California mentality. That's where I was born and raised, California. There's a strip mall and rack of clothes out there, mostly jackets. I spotted this really nice, long, beautiful, solid wool trench coat. And I was going, you know, that's odd. You know, why didn't they take the clothes back into the store? And, you know, there's no lights on. Then I see this little sign, went out of business. It was during the days of COVID. Well, take what you want, free. Wow, thanks, Lord. Put on that trench coat, fit just perfectly. Ended up walking all the way from Jefferson City, Missouri, to Eldon.
You walked 30 miles?
Yeah.
Why would you? Why did you walk 30 miles?
Well, one, I didn't have a car.
Oh, okay. So you were just like kind of drifting.
Yeah, just simply money in my pocket. I walked away from a high-paying job.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, Lord, you know, kind of feeling like, you know, Elisha, you know, where Elijah just, you know, puts the mantle on to Elisha. And that's it. Now I'm in service. So I get to, you know, Eldon, and, you know, I finally got myself a place to stay here in town. And, well, you know, this is the first time in 2.5 years that I'm actually going to be able to actually go to church, because my brother didn't want me to go to church when I was living at his house for 2.5 years. Because he was just terrified that I might mention.
And that's how you end up at the Baptist church?
Yeah, yeah. So I thought, well.
So, you know, so I have a question for you. So if you're a follower of Messiah, have you tested these Baptist places? Have you tested them to see if they're...
I know their articles of faith, yes.
And have you tested to see that they're consistent with the Word of God? Because I can tell you right now, they're not. They keep a false gospel.
They have differences, yes.
They have to keep a false gospel. They're worldly. They do pagan holidays. They have the modern pastor role. They waste their money on building. The people are worldly and carnal, linked to the world of sports, politics, entertainment, movies. Right. How can this be the people of God?
Well, what it is that... Their God is religion.
But you're united to them.
No, I'm not united.
You go there and sing and pray with them. That's united to them.
Well, what separates me? Let me finish.
Won't convince me you're separated
tomorrow.
If you go and sing and pray with them, sir.
Tomorrow 9:30, if you were to walk into that church, on the literal back row, when you go through the doors into the sanctuary, very first thing that you would see on the very back row, right there on the aisle, would be this gentleman in a Jewish prayer shawl reading his Bible, Old Testament, of course.
Who's that? That you?
That'd be me.
So let me ask a question. You mentioned it twice already, the prayer shawl. Is that from Scripture or is that from a man-made invention?
That is from Scripture.
Where?
Yes.
Where is prayer shawl?
The book of Leviticus.
Where?
Concerning the elite.
Where did they ever have a prayer shawl?
They've done to themselves shawls, coverings.
What verse?
Tassels in blue.
No, that's tassels. No. That's tassels. That's not a prayer shawl. Tassels. Tzitzis are tassels that went to the end of your garment. The prayer shawl is a messianic invention, a Jewish invention that God's word never ordained.
I have the prayer shawl.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So the tzitzis on the end, that's what God ordained for the Jews, not the shawl.
That's what I have.
So hold on a second. So did you know that in Mark chapter 7 that Jesus tells the Pharisees that by adding man-made traditions to their worship of God, they worship God in vain?
It's an abomination.
Did you know that? So that Baptist church is an abomination. And adding things like prayer shawls and things, that's an abomination. It makes your worship of God in vain. Didn't Jesus say that we have to worship in spirit and in truth? If that's true, how could you ever go back to the Baptist faith or keep any false ways like that?
Let me explain. Because one parishioner asked me point blank. They said, you know, hey Tony, real quick, you know, your shawl that you're wearing, you know, what does that mean to you? I mean, you know, I mean, because they're ignorant. They are ignorant. They forgot their roots because they forgot that.
Yeah, but prayer shawl is not our roots, sir.
Let me finish.
That's a Jewish invention.
Let me finish. Gentile Christians forgot that they were grafted in.
As Gentiles.
Right.
We don't keep Torah. We don't keep Jewish ways. We don't keep festivals.
So if we are grafted, what am I being grafted
in? We're grafted in spiritually, sir.
What am I being grafted in?
Spiritually.
We're being grafted into the family
spiritually.
Of God, into the kingdom.
But wait, hold on. Let me back you up for a second. We're being grafted in spiritually, I agree.
Yes.
Paul says he made one out of the two, Jew and Gentile. And guess what? Wait, hold on. You had Torah keepers and you had worldly Gentiles.
Right.
He grafted the two, but he didn't graft us into the Jewish ways. He grafted us into the New Testament body.
Right. Now,
we don't keep all that messianic stuff anymore.
So, Gentiles...
Peter wasn't even keeping it.
They didn't have the hunger within themselves. I've talked to quite a few people over the years on this subject, is that, Jesus, you know, he was Jewish, and of course you know that all of the disciples were Jewish, and you know that all the prophets were Jewish, other than Elijah.
Right.
Because there is...
And he brought the new covenant.
There is... major issue amongst the Jewish faith that Elijah being Tishbite from Tishbe, that Tishbe was a predominantly Gentile town, and that Elijah was ministering.
Yeah. God
to
always
Gentile
received
people.
God always received the Gentiles if they would come in, but now we don't have to come in the Jewish way, we come in Christ's way.
Right.
But I want to get back to the Baptist faith. I see it because I care about you. I see you got two major issues. One, you're dabbling in messianic ways that aren't even scriptural, which God says that voids your worship of God, and you're dabbling with the heretical, evangelical, worldly, paganized, feminized Baptist faith. How can you claim spirit and truth, sir? How can you claim to be born of God? The Holy Spirit didn't guide you to a Baptist church. I want to give you one of my gospel cards, by the way.
Oh,
it's got my website on it, don'tperish.com. But how can you claim? The Holy Spirit wouldn't bring you there. You need to repent of that. That's sin.
I've never owned a computer. It's true. I've never emailed, never received an email. I've never Twittered, never been on Facebook. I've never owned a cell phone. I've never had credit cards in my whole life, yet I've owned 3 homes in my lifetime.
Okay. What does that have to do with faith, sir?
Here it is that when I came to the realization of exactly who Yeshua is, who Jesus is, and what he means to me, and when he said that, you know, through Paul, you know, you're in the world. Yeah, we're in the world. We're seeing it, but you don't have to be of it.
Yeah.
And so,
what does that mean? Hold on. What does that mean? To not be of the world. So like the Baptist church is into sports, politics, entertainment. They dress like the culture. They live like the culture. That's being of the world.
Yeah,
I've repented of that and left all of that. Because
so,
God's word calls us
Jesus
out of that.
Said is that, you know, I didn't call sinners or you know, the righteous, but I've come to bring sinners to repentance.
Repentance.
So, you know, I see these many people. A few of them I've already actually gotten quite close to, which is good, because I've been building a rapport of where, one, they trust me, they have confidence in me.
Are they having in-person services now?
Right now, no.
No, I'm sorry, on Sundays?
Oh, yeah.
What time is the service on Sunday?
9:30.
What time is it?
9:30. So anyway, let me finish this point. So
I have one service?
Yeah, one service. I wouldn't say it's... I'd say they're probably averaging maybe 60, maybe 80 parishioners.
Really? In that big building? That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a waste of money.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
What a waste of money.
Now,
they could split up and meet in four people's houses.
Now, what kind of, you know,
like the New Testament saints did in Acts.
Right. Now, what struck me is that, you know, I had talked to Pastor about this. I said, you know, David, you know, I noticed that, you know, not very many people were, you know, attending service. I always say temple, you know, and not very many people in temple today. Or, you know, last Sunday. And he said, well, you know, a lot of our parishioners, when COVID came onto the scene in early 2020, a lot of people started to stay home. In fact, right now, if I'm not mistaken, their daycare is shut down. First time in the history of this church, over 100 years, their daycare is actually shut down.
Yeah, because of all the COVID craziness.
Well, that's one of their ministries, is that they offer free child care to needy mothers that need child care but can't afford it. So, well, bring them to the church. We'll take care of the kids. Yeah. And so, yeah, the ladies of the church, that's what they do.
But again, none of that takes away the sin that's going on there.
Well, then this is my point, is that he wants to make disciples of
But his, what's he making them disciples into? Baptist people that keep a bunch of sin.
I know what he wants to do, and it's like, you know, I just don't even have the heart to tell him. It's like, you know, David, you know, we're in the throes of the great falling away, is that there was going to be a falling away of quite a few of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Oh, no. Gee, wait, hold on a second. Not quite a few. Jesus said in the last days when he returns, will there be any faith left on earth? He said few are going to find eternal life. Most of those people in that religious building will never see the kingdom of God.
So, anyway, right? I told him, I said, you know, we're in the throes of the great falling away. And there are just a tremendous amount of people in the church that are not going to be able to give up their Sex in the City. They're not going to be able to get rid of their third rock from the sun.
They're not going to enter into the kingdom of God then, because they're of the world.
Or married with children.
James 4:4 says to be a friend of the world makes you God's enemy.
They're
I bet the pastor. I not bet. I assume the pastor probably watches all those things.
I don't know if he does or not. I have not.
So if you go to my website, don'tperish.com, here's what I encourage you to do. Go to my website. I have all kinds of articles on my teaching blog that show you why the Baptist faith is unbiblical. And hold on. It shows you what a biblical faith is. And here's the thing. When your heart's transformed, my wife and I used to be worldly people. When your heart's transformed, guess what happens? Your entire life transforms. And you know the Bible actually teaches us how to live, how to spend our money, how to preach the gospel, how to who to associate with, how to dress, how to come out of the culture. You know, if we act, look, and talk and live like the culture, Jesus is coming to judge the culture. We have to come out and be holy. And so this is our temple. So we're supposed to dress our temple appropriate. We're supposed to associate only with true godly saints and not compromise ourselves with a bunch of heretics that keep pagan holidays.
Now, I see so many advertisements. People give me their cards, and I've collected people over the years. That's what I do. I collect people. Well, anyway, you know, I get their cards. And, you know, it's like, oh, a .com, a .net, .org.
Yeah, we're just using it for God's glory.
And here's the thing is that, you know, the 90 to 95% of those people that I've talked with over the years, you know, I didn't even have the heart to tell them. It's like, gee whiz, you know, it's like I see this .net, .com, whatever, is that I've never been on a .com or a .net.
Yeah. Whatever.
See, my eyes,
so that's good. You don't want to see it. Don't go on there. But it can be used for God's glory.
Either, you know, in the Torah, the Ketuvim, the Nevi'im, and the New Testament, or I'm consuming Maimonides, you know, Philo, Josephus, you know, other writings of, you know, historians, you know, through the centuries. What was the political conditions of this particular era of history? Mm. What was happening with the people?
I'd encourage you, I'd encourage you to read and study the New Testament more, because in there is where you're going to find the words of eternal life, not in all these other writers and historians. You're going to find it in the Word of God, and when you die, you're going to be tested to the Word of God. And here's a clue for you. You ready? If you're living in sin that you know is sin, you know the Baptist faith is sinful.
Everybody
Hold
is.
On. No, that's not true. That is not true. That is not true. I don't live in sin.
Even
when I slip into sin, I repent and leave it.
Right.
Yeah. I said live in willful sin.
Well,
hold
willful.
On. That's now, if you keep going to the Baptist faith after talking to me and I've showed you in God's Word that that's sinful. If you die and stand before Messiah, that, that sin is not cleansed. You're going to be judged for that sin because you've trampled the blood of Jesus.
I'll say this there. You know, I talked to David about this one point. I said, you know, David, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, you see these multiple entries.
It's my wife, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi.
Where Paul or the apostles are in the synagogue or they're in someone's home on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. Now, this is multiple times over. Now, mind you, Jesus has already been crucified, resurrected, ascended to heaven.
Yeah, it's because they were right Jews and they continued.
Let me finish.
But that's not true what you said, though.
Father. And so the apostles, they're going out and they're meeting together on Sabbath. And they're breaking bread, preaching the word, worshiping, and
that's not true.
Just having a wonderful time, fellowshipping.
But that's not true. You're not telling the whole story. Paul, why did Paul go to the synagogues after he had been transformed?
To preach to the Jews.
He was going to reach the Jews with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But hold on. What you just said was they were always going to the synagogues? Hold on. In the book of Acts, when the Spirit fell, what does it say in the later chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 2? It says they met daily,
yes,
house to house.
Oh,
they didn't just meet on Saturdays.
No, that was a point that I had with David as well.
They met daily, house to house, and broke bread and kept, hold on, they kept the doctrines of the apostles. That place isn't doing that. They're keeping man-made religion.
Well,
you really need to test yourself and go a lot deeper.
One of the sad things that I see with many churches when I was in Jeff City, I saw it there as well, but also here in Eldon, because I've sniffed around. I've been doing some fishing.
You're not going to find a biblical body in a building.
I love fishing. Finding out where people's heads are at, but also where their heart is at.
How do you tell where someone's heart's at? Isn't it their outside fruit?
Exactly.
So you don't need to know their heart. Look at their fruit.
I won't be.
You can't know their heart. God does, but look at their fruit.
I try so hard to make sure that, okay, now the Lord said that it's okay to be a fruit inspector. Just don't judge that fruit in a bit of a harsh way.
Or to judge it to the Word of God.
Right, yeah, to the Word of God.
And if it's in sin, we're to call it out.
With loving kindness, but to exhort.
Actually, they rebuked. They rebuked false teachers.
To exhort.
They rebuked false teachers.
And
if Paul showed up at David's building, Paul would rebuke him. So would Jesus.
If in the event that they did not accept the correction.
They don't.
It is
I'll show up, I'll correct him, and let's see if he repents of the pagan holidays.
The Lord stated, and you're probably both of you of them, which is that I will send out my servants in the end days. Now, I know that 144,000
yeah, that's
will
a no,
be sent
that,
out.
That's a whole other story. The point is, I would encourage you,
Lord.
I would encourage you to test yourself and go a lot deeper, because you claim Messiah, but you're not going to receive the blessings of Messiah as you keep pagan evangelicalism, or if you live like the culture, sir, you need to repent and follow after him with all your heart.
I receive quite a bit of blessing at home, and of course, you know, that's an interesting thing too, is that when I first started getting hooked up with this church, I remember that one day pastor came to my house. He said, hey Tony, we have a young man at the church, and he needs a place to stay for a couple days. Can you hold him over for a few days? Okay. So, next thing you know, Alan's at my house. Now, mind you, my house is not a house. It's actually a motel room, but it's, you know, monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And so my place is very small. But, you know, the Lord said, you know, don't turn away those that are homeless. Those that are hungry, you feed them. You know, those are the ones that, you know, yes, Lord, instead of, Lord, you know, didn't we do all these things in your name? And the Lord said, I never knew you. But to those that did these things, what things? Well, the ones that were feeding the hungry and visiting the sick, .. So I already knew that precept of, yeah, reaching out. So I did. Now, from that visit of 3 to 4 days, Alan ended up having me meet quite a few other people here in this town, and all of them have one thing in common. They're all homeless. They're all on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They all need Christ. And here, the Lord put me in a most unique position of where, now Tony, you get to do something interesting for me. You get to speak in my name. You get to tell them why you have a smile on your face. Yeah.
But here's the problem. So you're gonna convert those men to Christ and take them to the Baptist church and then defame them?
No.
No, I mean, you're going to help convert Christ by the Spirit. No. You're going to take them to the Baptist faith?
Let me finish. I can't, one, convert them.
No, you're right. God's Spirit does. But you're going to help convert them. You're going to preach the gospel to them, and then you're going to take them to the Baptist church? You're not doing them any favors, sir. You're damning their soul.
I'm not going to send them to the Baptist
church. You go there.
Yes, I do.
Well, why wouldn't you send them there?
Is that the apostles informed the believers, especially new believers, you know, that we are to assemble.
True believers assemble, not with pagans and false evangelicals.
It's a matter of, you know.
It's God's word. You're not very word-centered. You really need to repent and get word-centered. You need to be word-centered. Yeah. Tell you what, I got a bunch of stuff I got to get done. You check out my, go to the library and look up don'tperish.com and look at some of the articles. It'll help you to see how false that Baptist faith is, and then test your own life to see if you're really conforming to Christ's image or just this own Jesus you've made up. Like with prayer shawls. That's not in God's word.
Go with God.
Test yourself.